Good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this season of Lent. Thank you for this morning, giving us the time and space to read and reflect on your word. It's our privilege to come before you. May every word I say be from you. May your word go deep into our hearts and give us new insights, new revelation, make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 22. If you have your One app, you can open that. It's from the NIV. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it." It's the word of God. So if we have ever thought that Jesus was only a gentle, non-confrontational person who was tolerant of all things, then I think this passage tells us very clearly otherwise. Jesus calls out sin, the hypocritical sin, in the most direct and confrontational way in this passage. If we read the chapters before, we know that it doesn't come out of nowhere, though. In earlier part of Matthew, and especially the last two chapters, you see the Pharisees and the Sadducees testing Jesus. They're questioning his authority. They're trying to trick him by finding loopholes within the law. And all along, Jesus responds with parables, and he answers, which they cannot argue against. And finally, in this passage, Jesus shows his holy anger towards hypocrisy and basically their rejection of him. Even though in verse 1 it says that he's speaking to the crowds and the disciples, the way that the language changes in verse 13, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," means that the Pharisees are there, and it's targeted towards them. So first of all, I guess Jesus tells the people to obey what the Pharisees are doing, because this is from the law of Moses. So the word that they're teaching is not wrong. It's the things that they're adding to it. And then in verse 3, he quickly qualifies this, how they do not practice what they preach. So everything is for show only. In verse 4, then he says, "They lay heavy burdens on themselves while they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." And this is in direct contrast to Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, when Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's just the opposite. They lay heavy burdens and tell people what to do when they're not willing to do any of it. In verses 5 to 7, it talks about how everything that they do is for people to see. It's an outward show. So phylacteries are these little black leather boxes with scrolls of the Old Testament inside, and you wrap it around your arm and your forehead because these are the two main organs that are willing to serve God. And it's supposed to be a symbol to remind Jews how God brought them out of Egypt. So this was tradition to wear them on Sundays. There's nothing wrong with wearing them. But Jesus says that they wear extra wide ones and their tassels are extra long just to show people how religious they are. They're using this to show their super spirituality, and that's what he's condemning. He also talks about how they love their seat of honor and banquets and synagogues and to be called rabbi. They love the position, the power. In verse 8, when he says, you're not to be called rabbi, for you are only one teacher and you're all brothers. And I love how Jesus really puts them in their place. And he's telling them, you know, you do not deserve this title, which you love, because God is our true rabbi and our father and teacher. I think when I was reading this, it made me reflect that in other parts of the Bible, people are called father, people are called teachers. So he's not saying that these terms cannot be used or people cannot serve in these functions, but it's just very specifically in this context to the Pharisees, because they use these titles to exalt themselves and to reinforce their positions of power. And then in verse 12, he sums it up. The greatest among you will be your servant, that's Jesus. For those who exalt themselves, that's the Pharisees, will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted, which is the essence of servant leadership. And then he moves on to the seven woes. Only three are covered in today's reading, and the rest will be tomorrow. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. He's saying that the Pharisees are preventing others from entering the kingdom of heaven by making it all about their human traditions and their works. Recognizing Jesus as our Savior is the only way to enter the kingdom. And he's saying that not only will the Pharisees not enter the kingdom of heaven, he's also stopping others from entering. The second woe is about how they zealously convert people, but their preaching is wrong. And they make the converts, like the first woe, bind to the religion of works. So going to the verse 4 about giving them heavy burdens. And some commentary have even said this is worse because people think they are saved through their works, but they really aren't because they haven't accepted Jesus. And then the third woe, he calls them blind guides, and how if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by this oath, which is the wrong way around, because the gold is only sacred because of the temple. So he reinforces this three times through different ways of saying it. But it's said in some commentary says that Pharisees taught their followers to use different ways to get out of their oaths, and that's what Jesus is speaking against. And he's revealing their flawed logic. And if you make an oath, it should be to God, and of course it should be honored. So how does this apply to us? I think I have two takeaways. The first one is be genuine. Even in earlier part of Matthew 6:1, it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So it's not about what others see. It's who you are when no one is watching. God sees and God knows our hearts. There's a Latin proverb, esso quam videre. It's not Christian, but the meaning is to be rather than to seem. And it basically means that, just be real, be genuine. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. We might not wear leather boxes on our arms anymore or gowns with tassels to church, but but I think it can manifest itself in other ways. For me, just to share a struggle, we do outreach, you know, regularly at church or elsewhere, and sometimes after outreach, you want to share, right? So where do you usually share nowadays? Probably on social media, right? So sometimes I post things and then say, like, we did this, we went there. And then afterwards, I do reflect, am I posting it so that everyone can know what a good person I am? Is it because or am I really doing it just to, spread publicity about the charity or get more people to join next time? So I don't think it means that we can't share anything we do. Of course, there are good things we do that we want to encourage other people to join us, but it just makes me check myself. It makes me check my heart. Am I doing this for the right reasons? Another time of the year, which is probably a struggle, is during the fast. It says in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so no one knows that you're fasting. During the fast, I went to an office event, and it was very obvious that I wasn't drinking, I wasn't eating anything. And so when people asked, I had to explain, otherwise it was hosted by my boss. And then they all said, oh, wow, you're so devout, like you're such a good Christian. Not many churches do this. And then in my mouth, I said, no, I'm not. It's only these few weeks. But secretly, maybe I was patting myself on the back. Maybe I was, happy that I managed to abstain from it. So I think it's just a reminder that I have to check myself, remind myself that I'm not saved by any of these things, not by the works that I do, not by how well I can keep to my fast, but just 100% because of God's grace and because of Jesus. Second takeaway I have is be humble. And Jesus is our role model for this. How he loved people, how he washed the disciples' feet, how he mingled with sinners. And I think it's easier when we are young. I think about my first day of work, right? When I don't know anything. I was really humble. But as time goes by, we grow in our knowledge and our experience. We might have people that are more junior than you as time goes by. Then we have that sense of pride that we can control things, and it becomes harder to stay humble. And it's the same for church, I think. When I was a new believer, I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I didn't have any, position or responsibility at church. So you are very humble. As time goes on, you know the Bible a bit better. You might serve in several ministries, or you lead several ministries, and it might become more challenging to stay in that position of humility. But it's even more important to stay humble in these times, because that's precisely when we can display that servant leadership which Jesus talks about. I think whatever position we're in, whether it's at work, at home, at church, let us humble ourselves. It's an active thing that we have to catch ourselves. We have to be intentional. And let us humble ourselves so that through us, God can be glorified and exalted. So I want to invite Mon to come and lead worship for us. And as we sing these words, let's just reflect on any areas in our lives that we may not have practiced what we preach, or when human pride may have taken over us unknowingly. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but let us not be hypocrites and shine God's light. If there are any of these errors, we come to you in repentance and ask that you forgive us. May you change us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us worship.
Bowing You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. With sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. With sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh God, how I need
Let us pray. This is from the one. Dear Heavenly Father, it is your will for Lord Jesus to become flesh and be with mankind. You are also with Lord Jesus. You anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, for him to go around to do good deeds and heal all those who are oppressed by the devil. The church is founded upon your wisdom. She is the body of the Lord Jesus, in whom he fills all things. Father, we pray to you that the church will do good things through the Holy Spirit and power you have given us. May your blessings be upon the disadvantaged groups in the community, the old and the weak. Holy Spirit, you are within the church and moving among the saints. We pray that you heal all those who are enslaved by the devil. In the name of the Lord, amen.
Thank you, Andrea. Let's come to the front. Let's make a circle here and have our prayer time together. Okay. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray. There's actually a few people who are sick, so we got to pray. So Hazel, we'll continue to pray for her. I don't have a latest update. So let's just pray for healing for her. And let's pray for Isaac. Let's pray. Yeah, also no update. So let's just continue to pray for healing for him. And then we've been praying for Samuel and Fiona's baby inside the womb. Her name is Anna. And yeah, she's in a pretty serious situation and really needs a miracle to be healthy, to be born healthy, and to survive, actually, to live, right, after she's born. So let's pray. Let's pray for baby girl Anna. Pray for Sam and Fiona in this time. Let's continue to lift them up and pray for them. And and Addie. I spoke to Marcus on Saturday. They said they have, so they're waiting for the hospital to train them to do the dialysis for Addie so that they can go home, so she can go home. And that has finally been scheduled for April, so it's still a long time. And then, but they're allowing Addie to go home during the day, like to leave the hospital during the day. So, but that's also a lot of work, apparently, admin work to sort that out. So, yeah, let's just continue to pray for them and for Addie, for patience in this time of waiting, and for the whole family to really find God in this time. So let's pray for these four different cases. And let's also pray for Kathleen and Marion. Their grandmother passed away Sunday, right? This past Sunday. So yeah, we've been praying for them maybe for a week or so. Praying for her, and she passed away. So let's pray for the family. Let's pray for comfort. Let's pray that Marion and Kat would be able to just go before God and mourn and grieve and just find their peace and strength in Him. Let's pray for Chris and Aaron as well as they support their wives. And let's pray for the whole family. For our mission focus, let's just pray for our city, that where we live in Hong Kong. Let's pray for God's will to be accomplished here, His kingdom to be established here. Specifically, we could pray for Haven Shelter, who we learned about on Sunday. Let's pray that God would provide for them and they'll have a thriving ministry of really taking care of the migrant workers here. But all the other ministries that you know of, let's pray for them. Let's pray for His work to be done here. And let's pray for just various issues that we know here that's going on in this city. Let's pray for God's peace, God's reign in this city. And let's pray for Tim and Pastor Samuel Navarro as they kind of head up our local missions as well. Let's pray that our church would participate in God's mission for Hong Kong, you know. So let's pray for our leaders as they figure out how our church can serve. And let's pray that our church would really participate in these different ways. Let's pray for the area of mission for Hong Kong.